Dealing with Milton's aftermath in Florida. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Not an easy cleanup for some of the Tampa area.
The ground's just saturated, and they're just falling and taking anything in the way. Fences, power lines. There's a large tree laying across one of the off-ramps off the parkway.
In Sarasota, City Commissioner Eric Arroyo just told Fox,
"We don't have power right now, and much of the county has very limited access to water because of the water infrastructure."
Sarasota's where the hurricane first hit on Wednesday.
The boat yards are completely messed up. There's limited access to the barrier islands. We have some bridges that have structural damage.
There's also tornado devastation being cleaned up in other parts of Florida and flooding. Milton blamed for at least 17 deaths. There are still water rescues going on. The number of people killed in Hurricane Helene's devastation now tops 250 weeks after it hit, doing damage all the way up to North Carolina, where floods ravaged mountain communities like in Watauga County, where this man tells Fox many businesses are damaged and closed.
A lot of the workers who live paycheck to paycheck, it's devastating. What are they going to do? How are they going to eat? What are they going to do to survive?
Israel keeps bombarding Lebanon, where the army says two Lebanese soldiers were killed in an airstrike on a checkpoint. Another strike injured two members of the UN peacekeeping force in Lebanon, while Hezbollah keeps firing into Israel, killing a farmer there. Israel also keeps waging war against Hamas militants in Gaza. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. still trying to get more aid to all the Palestinian civilians displaced.
I have real concern about the inadequacy of the assistance that's getting to them.
There were tears of joy in Japan today, when the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded to a group of survivors of the two U.S. atomic bombings that ended World War II. Their organization, Nihon Hidankyo, has been outspoken against nuclear weapons. America's listening to Fox News.
Years ago, when I first started to feel pain in my hands and my joints, I did what most people did. I masked them, to feel better for a few hours, only to have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again. Not until about a decade later did I understand that there's a better way. It's called Relief Factor. The good news is, for you, that you don't have to mask your pain anymore. Relief Factor makes it easy to get rid of the pain completely and naturally. Now, they have a 3-week quick start. It's $19.95. For less than a dollar a day, instead of masking the pain, try Relief Factor. On 70% of the people that try it, it eliminates that pain. How? Well, it's a unique formula of ingredients that helps support your body's response to inflammation. Relief Factor was developed by doctors, and it's 100% drug-free. And right now, their 3-week quick start is $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Call 800-4-RELIEF. That's 800-4-RELIEF. See how in a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. When you feel better, life is just better. So don't mask the pain. Fight it naturally with Relief.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios. 560 KBLU.
Good morning from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. The First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden, will be in Yuma today to highlight Vice President Harris's vision. That includes protecting reproductive freedom and strengthening democracy. We'll have coverage on all stations, including News 11. Local crews head to Florida to help with the aftermath of Hurricane Milton. 30 APS crew members throughout Arizona, including 3 Yuma workers, were sent to Florida to help restore power. The American Red Cross in Yuma is another organization going to Florida to help communities devastated by the hurricane. And you're invited to help celebrate a big anniversary this Sunday. Brownies Cafe is prepping to celebrate its 45th anniversary. The cafe has been in the Brooks family since 1979. It'll be open Sunday from 6 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon to celebrate. Don't forget about Friday Night Lights tonight at 10:15. I'm Scott Gross.
Have a warm weekend, not as hot as it's been, and getting better, those temperatures. Sunny and 104 on Friday, 70 tonight, 102 and sunny on Saturday, 66 Saturday night, 98 and sunny on Sunday, 64 Sunday night.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Let's do it.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talking, 560 KBLU. That'll get you in the mood there, Russ. I like it.
Yeah, a little wild thing.
Well, after that weather, they said 98 degrees and cooling off. It's going to be beautiful.
I hope so, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to
Sunday's it. Sunday's my wife's birthday and my son's birthday. Born the same day, the 13th. She's born on Friday the 13th, Tom. She likes Friday the
13th. I guess it's lucky for you, then.
It is lucky. Lucky for her. Yeah, lucky for me, too.
Hey, this is Tom Rush, George Davis with Money Talk, here for talking for about an hour about different investment items. That song, Tone Look, reminds me of freshman year in college. We drove down from Massachusetts down to spring break in Daytona, Florida.
Oh.
And that was like the number one song out on the radio.
Was it?
So I think we heard it like 50 times on the way down there.
And there you go.
So that's what that song reminds me of.
Wild thing. Hey, so we're looking at a pretty good year in the market, Tom. I mean, S&P's doing real well. I remember some clients at the beginning of the year, because it was an election year.
Yeah.
They're asking me, well, should we get conservative? Should we sit on the sidelines and see what happens during elections? And the first three quarters of this year has been the best three quarters in an election year in 50 years.
Have you ever heard the term of don't count the chickens before they hatch? You got another 2.5-3 months here, George. You never know what can happen.
No, you never know what can happen. But in quarter four of election years, the market's been up 79% of the time. So the odds are with us. Yeah, I know that.
You better knock on something wood-wise.
Yeah, well, Carson loves their stats like that. But it is interesting. I mean, election year, volatile, a lot of uncertainty, but being the best three quarters in any election year, that's kind of interesting to me. So,
yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I think people feeling happier about their retirement accounts, 401k accounts, should hold up. But that, should kind of trickle down to Christmas, because I think when people go out shopping come November, December, they feel a little better about themselves. They usually spend a little bit more money.
Yeah.
And if your Christmas. 401ks are up, your IRAs are up, probably people are a little bit happier.
Yeah. It's a little Santa Claus rally.
Yeah. Hey, what I want to talk about is, we got the election coming up, and I don't want to get into the politics side of it, but I do want to get into the tax side of it, because as we all know, tax is money out of our pockets, someone's pocket.
Yeah, and when we talk about politics, Tom, this show is for education. Remember that. So don't let Russ get in and try to drag us into some political argument here.
Never happened.
Because we also have the propositions, which I find interesting. A lot of people don't know about them. We'll talk about it a little bit later.
If we were going to talk politics, so it's going to be like Hannity and Combs. I'm Hannity, you're Combs. George the liberal.
More like comb over.
Hannity and Combs. Hey, that's right, man. I'm the color guy. Remember, senior. Combs senior.
So let's start with the presidency. There's some differences as far as what they're offering from a tax standpoint. As some of you guys might know, Trump lowered taxes, I believe, in 2016, and they sunset at the end of 2025. So basically the whole tax code, for the most part, stepped down and got less. I probably have some numbers here.
I get that question a lot. Is it end of 25 or sometime during 25?
End of 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyways, Trump wants to keep it going. So his idea is to extend it.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers are, there's a tax cut kind of across the board for everybody. And then Harris wants to extend it. If you make less than $400,000 a year, so it gets extended. Anything above $400,000, then it doesn't get extended, which would basically raise the highest tax bracket from 37% today back to 39.6. So that's a big thing.
2.6%.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big thing when that type of money.
Yeah, and most Americans probably don't make $400,000, so some of them might not think, stick it to the rich guys.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
But how much truth is there of that? They say 400,000, but hopefully, do they really follow through and keep it at 400?
That's the argument. That's the right question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So that's a big difference. Harris wants to have a federal tax credit for a first-time home buyer for $10,000.
Oh, she dropped it from 25 to 10?
Hey, this is from the Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine. So,
or maybe
this
I'm
is my record.
Of the 25 down for down payment assistance.
Well, I think that was a pie in the sky thing that was thrown out there, but I don't think that's
so
concrete.
Do you have your first time home buyer for $10,000 tax credit?
You know, which is pretty good. I mean, if you're, you know, to get people into houses, I mean, I don't, you know, that should be a stimulus for the economy too. You have more.
Yeah.
First-time home buyers trying to get in, and I don't you know what we're trying. I think what we don't want to do is do it like we did in 08, 09, where people were getting into houses they couldn't afford,
right?
And then they basically had to foreclose on them, and that caused a big issue with the housing market.
But yeah, but I like the $10,000 better though. I mean, is $10,000 going to make that much of a difference in, you know, people that can't afford one now? That extra $10,000 boost is going to help them. I think those positions are in place to protect against that.
And if you had someone save,
we learned our lesson.
If you had someone save $10,000, it might take them a year, year and a half. I don't know what they're saving. So yeah, it should cause people to get in the houses a lot quicker. So
you think that'll drive the housing price up?
Yep.
More demand, $10,000 more for each house because
it should.
You ever take economics, buddy? Supply demand.
I had both micro and macro.
Well, more people buying houses.
I loved economics.
Probably causes
supplies
price.
Already. Okay, so. Supplies already low.
So that's pretty easy economics, right?
Right.
Okay.
Let's get a raise.
Hey, well, you know, I'm making sure.
The other thing that Harris wants to do, which I think's personally not a good idea, is when you inherit land or stock, there's a step-up basis. So if your parents went out and bought a piece of property for $50,000 and now it's worth $250,000 at death, the person who inherits it owns it, but the new cost basis is $250,000. So there's no taxes owed at death. It's called a step-up.
Mm-hmm.
So she basically wants to have a step-up, but if it's over $5 million, then it's going to be treated as capital gains.
Immediately?
For that year.
Which could force people to sell the farm again.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's kind of sticking it to the people that maybe have the money.
Yeah.
But the point is, say you have a, say you have a house and it was a $100,000 house, now it's a $2 million house. Well, it has to be bigger, $5 million. It's probably
not,
a farm,
not your residence, though,
piece
like
of property
rental, yeah.
Or something. But, anyways, that's a big thing. No one's really, we tell our clients, don't spend stuff that has low cost basis. Try to spend the other stuff to live on because once you pass, the step up's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't like that. And once they start messing with the step up. Then they could probably say, well, it's $5 million today, this year, but, maybe next time it's $3 million. I'm sure they can start. But right now, it's 100% step up for property and, stocks, bonds.
Or if they do some type of adjustment. Hey, it cost that much back then. Now it would be worth this much. So
yeah, it's just room to
make. Are you forced to go out and get an appraisal at that point if you inherit a piece of property?
I would guess so, but who has appraisals back if it was 1950s and 60s?
The price they paid. I mean, that should be documented. But
yeah.
But then the current price, when they say, okay, the current price, it's worth $250,000 and your parents only paid $50,000. Well, how do you know it's worth $250,000 unless you go out and pay for an appraiser? But who pays for that?
Well, I'm sure it's not the government, so probably part of the
I think that's a
process.
Safe bet.
Yeah, it is.
That's probably a safe bet.
Yeah.
So one of the
how do you keep track of that though? Too, that's a lot on the books because now you've got. I guess if you pay it in the tax year, then it's done. Now you have a new step up. And you just paid the tax on it.
Yeah, but I think they give you like 18 months or so to liquidate if you have to, because like you said,
without coming up with the cash. Yeah.
One of the things that Trump's recommending, besides keeping his income tax level down and don't let it sunset end of 2025, is he's talking about eliminating Social Security, any tax on Social Security.
Yes.
Now you know why he's doing that, George?
Because we need help with the Social Security Trust Fund and
no,
because there's double taxation on Social Security.
No.
Well.
He wants to help the middle class.
Your second thing was more appropriate.
Okay.
So basically, you know, you put in 6.2%.
This is called a hip picture.
The employer puts in 6.2%.
Yep.
But it's after-tax money that's being put in.
Correct.
So their theory is after-tax, you already been taxed on that money, so it should come out tax-free. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a Roth IRA.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But the 6.2% that the employer is putting in is tax deductible.
Yep, that's right.
So why should that hurt the small guy, George? They should get it tax free.
I would say so. But I mean, people think, oh, everything's taxable, but you do get a, you know, the employer contribution and then how much the trust makes on interest. That's all tax free. The taxable portion is the part that you're putting in as an employee.
Yeah.
So that's where the double comes from.
Yeah. So it wouldn't surprise me if, I actually like that.
That's pretty popular. I would think that's
the only reason why I like it, because I know there's a lot of people that didn't plan well and they're living on Social Security, which isn't the best. I think in 2025, it says Social Security is going to increase by 2.5%.
That's nothing compared to inflation.
Yeah. So inflation's at, you know, 5%, 4%, 5%, 6%. The other thing that they're going to do is, or he's talking about doing, is exempt all tipped income from anything. Your waitress or valet or however else you get tips, which, you know, to me is probably not going to put a big dent in the coffers of tax money, because, you know, some of these people that get cash tips, I mean, do you think they claim it all?
No. Well, some of them go through the business what makes you do it, but I think Trump was looking for the younger votes too. I mean, there's a lot of younger people that are waiters and waitresses and
yeah.
And well, he's going for the old vote.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I know, you know, all the service, you know, United States is becoming a lot more of a service industry than we were, you know, 25, 30 years ago, and a lot of the service industry is where you get tips.
Right.
So so Harris has a up to $3,600 per child for low and middle class income. They get an additional $2,400. This is a tax credit for to have a child for kids when you claim them. So hers is $6,000, and Trump is $5,000. So she's $1,000 more on a tax credit,
mm-hmm.
but it's based on income again. So you have to fall in the lower category.
Is that a total, or is that in addition to what you already can do?
No, it's part of it.
Okay,
yeah, it's not addition. Now, I don't know if you watch the news much, because this is broke, I believe, yesterday or the day before. So I'm going to put you on the spot here, George, to see if you're a news junkie or not.
Mm.
And then if you're not, I'm going to ask Russ, because I'm sure he's a news junkie. So Trump was in Michigan talking, and he just came out with some two new tax ideas in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And you're better off just saying you don't know than to try to guess in a... So, you know,
well, I know he was in Michigan talking to the auto workers, and, you know, for talking about the electric cars and how everything going on with the green is going to be the death of the auto workers.
But talking
the
tax
part, I did not catch that. No.
Okay. Russ is Googling it. So
no, but I didn't catch it either.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
That was a big deal. So basically, he's claiming that any interest from a car loan can be deductible. Like a house deduction.
Okay.
I did not hear that.
And that's a huge shot in the arm for the car people.
Mm-hmm. Especially with rates being higher right now, too.
But the zero bracket rate is so, you know, high. A lot of people still ain't going to put them over for a car. Well, I guess car loans now are stupid big, so I don't know.
Well, and I think it'd be interesting to see what they do about the itemization, right? Because when Trump did these cuts, he made it you have to have so much to itemize. It's a high number. I believe it's like 20,000-30,000,
yeah.
Which most Americans don't.
You need a mortgage for that.
So they might, well, car interest too, but they might, I don't know if they're going to bring that down, but so I think we're going to take our first break here.
All right.
This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m. Be right back.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
This is Derek Hegeberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, George Davis. Another beautiful day in Yuma.
That's true.
Gorgeous out there, Tom. And good song right there. I'm singing that song to Tom today.
You don't want
to
work?
I don't want to work. This is it. Doing the show and calling it good.
I don't know who would be happier, George, me or you. I don't know.
I see you, man. I got to take it easy. I got to start throttling it down.
The other thing he mentioned, and I didn't catch the full part of it, but he was talking about, you know, trying to bring manufacturing back to the U.S. from overseas, and they talked about a 15% corporate tax, maybe like a flat tax, which I know, you know, should help businesses decide if the United States is a good place to come back to. Mm-hmm.
So the 15% is just flat, can't go up, doesn't really matter how much you make, what the industry puts out, would just be simple.
I saw him verbally talking about it, so I don't know the details. Maybe
He's proposing a lowering it from 21% to 15%.
Oh, it's at 21 now.
Yeah.
Now, is it any business or just manufacturing?
It just says corporate. Yeah. Slash the federal corporate tax rate total. See, that's 21 huge. To 15. That would be gargantuan.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of
it
money.
It wouldn't be the highest in the nation. I mean, in the world. The world would be. Yeah. We got some that are lower than that.
George, in his mind, is thinking right now, isn't that putting more money back into the rich man's pocket?
Yeah, George is worried about that. Yeah.
Well, and then so where are you going to get that extra money to pay for the deficit?
Well,
you got to fix the deficit, and that doesn't help.
If history repeats itself.
I understand more jobs, more business.
Being an econ guy, George, picture a pizza, okay?
Okay.
So you got a 12-inch pizza diameter. The pizza grows to 16 inches, 18 inches, 20 inches. Basically, there's more pizza on the table, right? Yes. So if you start bringing manufacturing back from China to the U.S., do you think the pizza gets bigger or smaller for the GDP number?
I'm going to say it gets bigger.
Okay. So your answer is, where does the tax come from? If you grow the pizza big enough.
Where does the revenue come from?
Well, you grow the pizza big enough, it will cover itself.
Okay. Yeah. So you grow, you get that thing bigger and bigger and bigger. It's going to cover the difference that you're taking, not taking in the taxation.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, if we moved it to 10%, that would put us, 15%, that would put us pretty high in the world, actually, as far as low rate. I mean, there's a lot.
Right now, we're not real competitive as far as rate goes.
No.
As far as I understand. But that would lower it to make it so maybe.
Yeah, I mean, there's other countries higher, but we're in the middle road somewhere. But there's countries at 10, 15, now 12.
I wonder what Mexico is.
I mean, I think the biggest reasons why they go overseas is for the labor costs and then the less red tape to get things built and done.
Mexico's 30.
So.
Well, Mexico's got to be the labor costs and the red tape then.
But there's a big list of them that are at 10.
Huh, interesting. So that's the second one.
So I guess, kind of a summary is all of Trump's tax cuts are pretty much uniform for everybody. I mean, there's not much discrimination. And it looks like Harris, when there is a tax cut, it's not as good for the if you're above
wealthy.
A certain tax bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but 400,000 is considered wealthy. If you live in LA, in the city of LA, is 400,000 a lot of money?
Probably not enough.
Yeah. So that, it's all in. Depends on where you're at, where you live.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I know on the state props that are coming around, I'm driving around town seeing them. What I don't like about a lot of the signs about the state propositions that we have to vote on is a lot of them don't really tell you anything. They have like some slogan that means nothing. I think the old days used to tell you prop so-and-so, like, you know, no school tax, or at least when you're driving around, you kind of have an idea
what they're talking about. Now it just has the number.
Now it just has, like, a little slogan, and you're wondering. Yeah. So you and I, that was your homework last night, George.
You did homework?
Yeah, I had some homework. That's why I'm so tired. The reason you see that many, Tom, is they actually referred 11 measures to the ballot this year. And that was the most that they've ever put forth since 1984.
You say 11 measures, it's 11 propositions.
11 propositions, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's keep the same lingo, George, so that the listeners know what we're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, 11 propositions. Okay.
So let's go in it from an economic or, you know, business standpoint, not so much on the social side, but you want to flip through these and talk about what they can do?
Yeah, I do. So the first one is Proposition 133, political parties nominate candidates. Makes partisan primaries a requirement, basically a ban on rank choice voting, and lets parties nominate candidates instead of candidates collecting signatures to qualify for a ballot. So you know how people come into the office and say, hey, sign my petition. I need to have so many signatures to get on the ballot. So that would go away. And
I think what this is doing is it's going to make both parties stronger, Democrat, Republican.
Right.
Because basically you have to fill every position from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. Where if I'm a libertarian and I say, hey, I want to run for, you know, some random position, then I can just get the signatures and run.
Yep.
So I would say my personal opinion, not too keen on this because I think it makes the two parties stronger.
They just get to nominate it.
Yeah, I know, but if anything, I think the parties, we need to have a third or fourth party in there.
Well, they make one, but they can do that. But no, I'm for it because I think the leadership, the Republicans should pick their own Republican leaders, not have people that, like, I don't like parties, I don't like Republicans, but I want to vote this leader in for the Republican Party.
I'm not against that statement either, but yeah. wouldn't it be harder for a libertarian or someone to come in and, if you can't just get signatures to get on, like, isn't it excluding some people?
No. Libertarians can get on easy because there's not very many libertarians, so you only need, like, 10 signatures or something to get on anything. But they run as a libertarian. They don't run as a Republican, don't run as a Democrat. They run as a libertarian. And you can run as a libertarian.
And wasn't this thing saying that they have to fill, like, all the positions from top to bottom, like the Republican Party would fill the positions? I mean, so if you libertarians sometimes...
No, it just means when you go vote, if you're a Republican, you get to vote for Republicans, but no more independents voting for parties. Because you're not a party. You're not a part of the party.
Yeah, but if I say I'm voting for mayor, hypothetically, and I'm a libertarian, and I still see a Democrat, Republican...
Oh, no, in the general election, everybody votes. This is just primary.
Okay.
Just primary.
Okay, so everyone votes. So same as before then.
Same as it now, except right now, independents can go and vote in the primary, but they have to declare, I'm going to vote on the Democrat side or on the Republican side. You have to pick one.
Right.
And that's
it. For the primary.
For the primary. And then afterwards, everybody votes in the final. Yeah. It doesn't matter what party, non-party, green, libertarian, you vote for anybody you want.
Well, this is kind of interesting, Russ. The Libertarian, Green, and No Labels parties, less than 2% of voters, would be required to nominate candidates for every partisan race, from U.S. president to precinct constables. The independent voters would have no saved spot for them on the ballot because there's no recognized independent party in Arizona.
Yeah, I think that's the independents only. I mean, that's the primary only in the primary.
Yeah, but I still think it makes the two parties stronger, which I don't like, our personal opinion.
But
I think we need more choices.
That's an opinion, but it would make more choices. Independents can get together and say, okay, I'm going to start a party called Independent Party.
But a lot of times that takes, you know, time, effort, and if...
Yeah, we don't want to do that. Let's take a shortcut.
Well, I mean, let's look at the President Kennedy, the one that was going to run as a Democrat, and he got shut out. So to me, this bill makes it easier for the party to shut you out because you might be the best candidate, but they don't want you.
Yeah.
They want their pick.
Well, it lets the parties run the parties. Like, you're a member of the Rotary Club. You wouldn't say, okay, we're voting for president today. Everybody on the street could come in and help us vote for the president. You would have only Rotarians vote.
Yeah, but isn't that saying that the party will pick who's going to be on the ballot, like the actual party?
Well, That's exactly right. No, the party didn't pick it. They let people vote, but the party
picks.
How many votes did Kamala get?
I have no idea.
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
And she's the nominee for the Democrats.
Oh, yeah.
They
okay.
picked her.
I thought you meant, yeah.
And they can do that as a party. It's in their
rules. Okay, I vote no on this. You like it. George, like it. You got to have an opinion on this. What's your opinion?
I thought we were just doing education.
Come on,
only.
I want to hear your opinion.
My vote is no.
Okay.
Okay, and why? Just quickly.
I think it makes it so...
The party stronger and harder.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it more difficult for...
People to jump in.
Yeah,
because we don't like politics.
Okay.
Okay, Prop 134. Let's get going here on this one. District requirements for citizen initiative. There's a geographic barrier for citizens initiative. Instead of simply getting a certain number of petition signatures, initiatives would be required to collect a percentage of signatures in 30 different parts of the state.
Yeah. So look at it. I like the analogy here. Look at it as a college electoral vote where, you know, they spread the vote out across all regions of the United States. So we're not a populated, you know, mm-hmm. not based on population. That's saying that this could do the same thing. It gets the rural areas more involved instead of just going after Maricopa. So I don't know the ins and outs of this, but this doesn't.
Well, you said it, Tom. It makes it so Maricopa can't just run roughshod over everybody and not include the rural areas. Right now it does. So this would require them to get more.
Well, Russ is more into this voting thing than us. So what do you think? Are you for that one, Russ?
I am for it. And I'll tell you, right now, if you want to get a proposition up, you just camp out in Maricopa County. You don't even have to look at the rural communities.
And being from Yuma, this would help Yuma more, right?
Well, you'd have to get signatures from Yuma, too.
Because Yuma would get more of a voice if this passed.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, I'm probably not against that.
Makes sense to me. I like that one.
What's the next one, George?
Proposition 135 is next on restrictions on emergency powers.
I don't know if I like that one either.
This limits the governor's power when declaring a state of emergency. This goes back to Ducey's handling of COVID in 2020. So it limits the governor's emergency power for 30 days unless extended by the legislature.
Yeah. So I'm a believer that, you pick the governor to lead, and if there's real emergencies, even though it's 30 days, you still got to deal with a room full of people trying to make a decision. So I kind of like the fact that he can do what's best for the people and not be tied up with red tape. So I'd probably vote no on that one.
Well, this is, what if the governor does something that you're like, hey, that doesn't make any sense?
Well, they probably can get checked by the state then. The state can get together and say, then they can vote it out and say, we're not going to do that.
Well, this is going to make it so it's easier to do that.
It's easier to keep the governor down is what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
But if the governor does something that outrageous, they can do an overnight meeting. But
they can still do it for 30 days, like Governor Ducey right now, with declaring states of emergency and whatever he's doing
for
the hurricanes.
Wrong? I mean,
nothing.
Not Ducey. You're talking about COVID.
Yeah, but I'm talking about right now with the hurricanes and all those. You got to be able to have flexibility to say, hey, bring in the National Guard, whoever.
Split decision, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't like that, huh?
No, I like it a lot. I think that things get out of whack real quick. Let's say there is an emergency. They have the power, but the people we elect will have a check on it after 30 days and say, you went too far.
Yeah.
I think that's okay. I think that's great. We need a check and balance.
And as of right now, and that's the state – votes against him, he can do this for 60 days, 90 days. He can do it longer.
I think it's 30.
Yeah. But this one's 30.
After that, gives you enough time to get the Congress together and say.
But what's the rule now? It's unlimited instead of 30 days?
I don't think it's written.
Oh, okay.
So
this is going to change the.
They could shut you down until you can't go to church for a year because of COVID.
It's going to amend the Constitution. I don't know if I'm for that either.
every proposition does, and I'm not for it either.
I don't think every proposition does.
Yeah.
Amend the.
Yeah, it actually goes in. That's what's so dangerous about it is then you can't fix it. Once it's voted on and the legislature looks at it and says, oh, my God, when we did this, this is an unintended consequence. We need to write a fix.
The 1940s.
We can't write a fix because they didn't put it in. It has to go back to the voter, which nobody does. So, Tom, sometimes you have to live with bad consequences. No, I would do away with the referendum thing altogether. I would.
It takes more power away from the governor, right? This one.
It allows outsiders to pour money in here and to say, well, I think Arizona should do this, and they can pour a bunch of money in and make us have a resolution, and put tons of money, pay people to get signatures, and then do an ad campaign.
Sounds like the lobbyists, brings the lobbyists in to hire people.
We did it recently to make the hog farmers put in bigger pens. That didn't come from Arizona. That came from outside Arizona.
What's your opinion on this, George?
I had a yes on that one.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that because Teresa told you to do it? Or you, this,
she went through all these and marked them for me.
Okay.
Plus, I'm playing the liberal over here, remember? So. All right, Prop 136, lawsuits against citizen initiatives. This one I need a little help with, but there's a good explanation here. This proposal would change this. Let me read it here. While ballot measures can be challenged in court for violating the rules for what can appear on the ballot, they cannot be challenged on their constitutionality until they become law. This proposal would change this and allow anyone to sue to stop a citizen's initiative from being added to the ballot based on its potential to violate the Arizona U.S. Constitution.
Correct.
To me, I don't like it. It's too frivolous.
No.
I mean, people being able to sue.
Because what we got right now.
No, you agree with this one?
I agree with it.
Oh.
I mean, a lot of times you can write some crap to put out there and to cause confusion and everything, and because you know, even though it's not constitutional, it's going to take months. It'll be in effect for a long time before you get it to the courts.
So,
you can get the courts to intervene before you make that mistake.
So I think what they're saying is, this is, say you put on the ballot something that's fictitious. Before, if it got chosen, then they would go say, that's not right, and it'd go to the court system.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're saying that they're filtering it before it even hits a ballot, right? Is that what they're saying, George?
Well, yeah,
it's a pre-filter, as soon as
you write it up and say, okay, we're going to put this on the ballot, somebody could challenge that in court and say, wait a minute, that's not constitutional, and stop it before you get to that process.
Before, yeah.
But it's just to check the constitutionality.
But is that the law today, or is that what you...
That's what this would do.
Yeah. Yeah, because they don't want... it's going to save time and energy.
Because right now, if you bring up a lawsuit on it, they'll say you have no standing because no one's been hurt by it. No one's been bothered.
Yeah, it's not
a
law yet. Okay.
But why put it out there if it's already unconstitutional?
Okay, so who's to stop the other... Let's play devil's advocate. The other person that says every single time they're saying, hey, that's not unconstitutional, I'm challenging.
They do it now.
Every single time they do
it now.
Well, now the other side's going to be doing it.
They all do it. But they do it after it becomes law, and then it's a problem.
So now they'll be able to do it before.
So it seems like this could have been a lobbyist for the attorneys.
No,
jump in before it even is a problem.
Well, no. It doesn't do any good to bring a lawsuit a constitutionality unless
are you so far have you voted the Republican line on this, or you don't know what the Republican? I mean,
I helped write the Republican line.
Okay, but that so far like that's a. Because we're just reading these things, so yeah, I don't know.
We're educated here. We're going to take a break, though, Tom, because we're getting into some really juicy ones here coming up.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
This is Derek Hegeberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
Welcome back, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Happy Friday out there. George Davis Sr. and Tom Rush.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. And Russ is here talking with us too. He's interjecting in on these proposals that we're educating.
Well, you can always come with Mike off. It's your show.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I've got a Social Security. I've got my NSSA certificate, National Social Security Advisor certificate, and educating the public and clients on Social Security, because about 53% of people don't know really much about it or incorporate it into their financial plan, Tom, when it comes to when to choose it.
So we're going from politics to Social Security.
Hey, I plug myself here a little bit.
Okay,
but
okay.
The October 17th, which is next Thursday,
okay,
6 days, I have a seminar at 6 o'clock in the evening, so 928-329-1700. Contact Kayla at Human Investment Group. And then I'm also doing one Saturday,
so I have a choice,
the 19th at 10 a.m. Okay. So a Social Security seminar helping you incorporate Social Security into your retirement and making the right choices for it.
So I think statistically, like close to 50% of the people don't make the right choice, right?
Correct.
So you're going to do a little seminar on how to make the right choice?
How to make the right choice.
Yeah.
That's right.
And really, it's up to the individual. I mean, everyone's different. You can't just get a room of 20 people and say, hey, everybody do it this way. But at least you're going to explain the pros and cons and what you got to do to
navigate.
Pros
and cons and when to choose. It does have, you know, a little bit of taxation in there.
So next Thursday and next Saturday.
Next Thursday and next Saturday.
Yep.
Okay.
Good.
Thanks. That was okay to interject there, Tom?
It was. I didn't know where you were going with it.
Yeah. I know, a whole new topic. All right. We're on Proposition 137. We're educating on these propositions coming up. This is what, 3 weeks away?
Yeah. November 5th.
Dang, so, sneaks up.
Of course, you can vote today.
Yes, you can.
In fact, I recommend it.
Mail-in ballot, right?
Mail-in. No, you can walk downtown into the recorder's office and vote.
I didn't know.
Just
that.
Like you walk on voting day.
You
same
can?
Difference. You can, and you don't have to have an early ballot. You don't have to have any of that. You're a registered voter. You can walk
into my wife would love that. She's afraid. She didn't get her paperwork in to get early ballot, but she wanted to vote early.
Walk down today. Do it today. Just walk in the recorder's
office. You have to show ID?
Yes, we're in the state of Arizona, not communist state of California.
Okay, so like driver's license. Or
yeah, that's it.
How about a billing? Sometimes like if you got a bill at your house. No,
I think it has to have a picture ID, but I don't know that. Maybe a birth certificate. Yeah. I don't know. You'd have to call them. I'm not sure.
They might want to know.
I have a driver's license, address. So it's not a problem.
With the correct address.
Hey, when we talk on this, Google it. I'm curious what it is now, because they were trying to change some of that for fraud, right? So let's see what the... I don't know if it comes up, but we're going to continue on here.
Go ahead. California just changed it to make no IDs for anything ever voting, but IDs for everything else, like library card.
Yeah. I'll Google and see. Let's see what that is.
That's
okay, so what's Prop 137, George?
End term limits for judges. So this ends the term limits for judges and gets rid of retention voting. Voters can't remove judges.
And that's also with the Arizona Supreme Court. It includes them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'm a fan of that.
This would end term limits for judges. They still are required to retire when they turn 70.
Yeah.
But now they don't have to have the votes and get okayed to extend their term.
Yeah.
It can just happen. So actually, it's responsible of the state legislature to do it.
Yeah.
If this passes.
So does that mean that the people can outvote them? Like, is the people doing it, or is it some other process, you know?
Well, you mean the retention?
Yeah. Voters, right now, the voters can do it. They can eliminate a judge.
It's rarely done. But it's just the expensive thing. But I'm all for passing this thing. I mean, I think the term limits need to go to 70. I mean, I'm 70. There's still competency at 70.
Yeah, and I'm not worried about the age 70 thing.
Okay, but the retention?
Yeah, like what is this saying that if you have a Supreme Court person that who can then get them out of the office? Because isn't that Supreme Court of Arizona?
State legislature can.
Well, then the legislature can take them out any time, you know.
Yeah, but that involves
like an impeachment.
So they're voted in by the people, but then the legislature can take them out?
Not Supreme Court, no. Supreme Court is not the people. That's the judge. I mean, the governor will pick from a selection.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how it all works, but
kind of like the president
the governor appoints it.
But doesn't this involve like more politics on what judge should be removed, what shouldn't?
The idea is to take the politics out of it.
Explain how that works then, because I don't see
the retention part out of it. That takes the politics out of it.
Yeah, you don't have people being able to.
You know, that'd be like telling you know, we got to vote the Supreme Court judges to stay in. It doesn't make sense. They're supposed to be separate, not touched by politics, not involved in politics.
Yeah, but it says this would end term limits. Oh, yeah. I know, term limits. So you're in it.
Right. Well, for other judges, too, I imagine.
Voters can't. This basically makes it so voters can't remove the judges.
I know. But that means if you have a judge in there who's crooked or no one likes, then you're just stuck with them. If if because the politicians are going to
get them out. Yeah, people
vote,
can't.
I vote no on that, Russ. How about you, George?
I put a yes on that one.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, you want to keep the judges out of the politics as much as possible.
Isn't that pretty expensive, though, getting all that?
Yeah, it is.
It's pretty expensive to get,
when
you get people to do a petition. And
The more we put on the ballot, the more expensive it gets. And it's not necessary. We shouldn't do it. As far as voter ID, forms of identification, Arizona driver's license, Arizona ID card, tribal enrollment card, U.S. federal, state, or local government issued ID.
No passport, huh?
Doesn't say that. Your digital voter registration is acceptable form of identification. Digital registration card is acceptable. Your digital voter registration card. I don't have one.
I don't know
what a digital voter registration card is. I got a voter registration card, but I didn't know you could get a digital one. Meaning you need to provide an additional form. Oh, you need to provide an additional form of identification to vote at standard ballot.
Okay.
So it doesn't.
So any standard state ID, basically.
Yeah.
Tribe ID or.
Yeah, tribal, state, or federal.
Okay, well, that's good for everyone to hear. Okay, now we're on Proposition 138, George.
Here's your favorite one, Tom, the tipped one. Reduced minimum wage for tipped employees. Changes the minimum wage for tipped workers from a dollar amount based on regular minimum wage to a percentage of the regular minimum wage. So every year when the minimum wage goes up, employers can pay tipped workers less than they would under the current law.
Yep.
So I think what this is doing, especially with the restaurants, is it's this big increase in minimum wages is really taking effect on them.
Well, you notice that if you sit down to eat there, because you get it's listed in the menu, the prices. Those prices are a reflection of what it costs to run it. And most of our waiters and waitresses, they live off the tips. They don't live off the money. I mean, the money they make. They generally would make much less to begin with.
This would be good for the restaurant owner, right? Because it lowers what he has his overhead. Right?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I think it'd be good for the customers, too. Maybe we'd probably have more waitresses at that point, and you won't have to sit there with an empty water glass, you know. Because then they would rely on tips. Maybe they would be nicer than George.
Oh, so it's incentive to try to service better and get.
Well,
a
it's not
tip.
That much. It would get. They would have a 25% off of minimum wage. It's it's a few dollars. I mean, that seemed like a bunch, but if you have 100 waitresses, that's a lot.
So I talked to a local business owner who has a restaurant bar, and I said, "What do you think about Proposition 138?" He kind of rolled his eyes, and I go, well, "What do you mean by that?" He goes, "It's." In the big scheme of it all, it's not enough. He goes, it should have been like 50%.
I don't disagree with that.
Because these guys, you know, I don't know, minimum wage, say you do an 8-hour shift, that's $100. You know, your restaurant has 8 people in it or something. So, you know, $800 an hour.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and, you know, you had to move some food to cover that. So anyways, I think it's helping the restaurant business, which I think is needed. So how would you vote on that, George?
Yeah, you know, I didn't even vote on this one yet.
It's a step in the right direction. And I mean, I think it helps. I think they need more help. So I'd vote yes on this.
Yeah, I would probably agree.
You know, federal minimum wage is 7.25. The minimum wage in the state of Arizona is like $14.50 or something.
Yeah.
So we're almost double the minimum wage for the federal government.
You notice you take two people and go to like some lunch and it's like almost $50.
It is. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. My son goes to Keynes, and I'm looking at $30.
And it's a service industry, so the wages that they pay has a lot to do with that.
Let me give you an example here. This will help you, Tom. For example, the minimum wage in 2024 was $14.35 an hour. Under current law, employers can pay tipped employees $11.35, so $3 less, as long as it shows that they make at least $3 in tips. Okay? Under the new proposal, go ahead.
So it helps the cost of the restaurant owner.
Yeah, under the new proposal, employers could pay a worker $10.77, which is compared to $11.35. What is that? 65 cents. If the employee made a combined $15.35 an hour from paycheck and tips.
That kind of means the restaurant owner has to now get involved of the tips, which I think
most of them do anyway.
Do they?
Yeah, many of them.
Because I see people get a tip and they just kind of put it in their side pocket, you know?
Yeah, but a lot of them have to turn them in because the restaurant has to, you know, have some paperwork to show that they made minimums.
What percentage of tips do you think actually get turned in a restaurant?
I don't have an idea. I don't know.
Say less than 50% would be my guess.
I never worked for tips. If I did, I wouldn't be here doing this. You know? I'd probably make a lot of money.
Yep. Okay, we're almost through this, George. What's the next one?
Proper 139, Arizona for abortion access. Ugh.
That's a touchy subject.
It is.
Keep moving. So I think the reason why they're doing that is because the fear is that a state could come out and say there's no abortion in the state. So this is guaranteeing some kind of abortion at an early age.
This is abortion to birth with the state tax dollars paying for it.
Abortion to birth? What do you mean by that?
Right now, the state law is 15 weeks for abortion, which is pretty standard in England or Europe and pretty standard.
So if it's under 15 weeks, then you're allowed it?
Of course. Okay. Yeah, we have an abortion law.
Yeah, but above 15 weeks, then you're not.
After 15 weeks, then unless there's a life of the mother thing or some exceptions. Mm-hmm. But what this would do would be allow basically to birth. You could have an abortion at 8 months, 8.5 months, or 9 months.
So.
And then the state could pay for it. Or it leaves it open for the state.
Yeah, this would restore abortion rights that were taken away nationally on June of 2022.
That's a subjective statement.
It would make Arizona's current 15-week abortion ban unconstitutional. It would grant women the right to abortion health care without government interference.
All the way to birth.
So I would have to pull my Catholic card out and vote no on this one.
Well, and it says any medical doctor or anybody, like your obstetrician, your psychologist,
could tell you
pharmacist, can say, yeah, you need an abortion.
Yeah. But in 8 months, that's a damn near kid. You know, that's a full kid.
Oh, very viable. Right? Yeah. But kids are viable before that.
So, George, how would you vote on this? Remember, Teresa might be listening.
I was abstained from this one.
Okay. Proposition 140. Make elections fair.
Yeah.
Hey, right when they tell you that, you better read it closer.
Yeah, as soon as you get a title like that, you know you better read it.
Allows primary elections to be administered using nonpartisan ballots, such as a ranked choice voting method. I know this one. Teresa loves this.
No, she doesn't.
She does.
Ranked choice?
Well, let me finish. She puts down independent.
Okay.
Well, when it comes out,
she votes for nobody.
She can't vote for any stuff. The cool stuff that I got to vote for.
You mean like in a primary?
Yeah.
Only primary.
Right. And she gets fired up. She wants to be able to vote for the things that I vote for. Because I told her, hey, what'd you do? And she goes, none of those choices were on there. Why wouldn't you make it so everyone gets to vote on whatever they want to?
You can. Independent can vote. All you have to do is go in and say, I'm an independent, but I want to vote on the Republican side or Democrat side primary.
That takes effort.
That's all you have to ask for. You have to check for it. You don't have to become a Democrat or Republican,
right.
But you can always
every year you do that?
Any time you want.
So, Russ, what is this doing exactly? Can you paraphrase?
It's ranked choice. In other words, the person at the top of the ticket may not win. Like you would go in and say, okay, I vote for this is my first choice, second choice, third choice, fifth choice.
I see. Yeah.
And then the computer figures all down and goes ding, 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 ding. Okay, the guy in third place won.
Okay. So they let you vote. They let you vote more than once, basically.
Well, no, you vote at one time, but you give it a list.
Oh,
so
they
say, okay, so many people voted this guy first, and this guy second, and this guy third, and it does some kind of calculation.
Is that more accurate?
No. It takes away probably the more popular guys, because the more popular guys like say Trump is going to have some negatives and positives.
Yeah.
But he may win the race because he's the better choice.
So the winner
it would take that out the window. You don't get the better choice. You could have three or four guys, five guys. You could have some mealy mouth guys in there.
Yeah, you won the soccer game, but we're going to give you a second place award.
But let's say the top two would be Trump and Harris, because those are getting all the public.
Yeah.
And then there's some guy like George that ran in third. Nobody knows who he is, but he got all the people to vote him for third.
Yeah.
Well, since everybody voted third, they love him. So let's put George
in
there.
It's a weighted ballot. I don't like it.
Like it either. And then you never know.
Allow for election officials to administer open primaries so voters can vote on any candidate in the primary election, regardless of party affiliation. It's just the primaries.
No. 140's not, is it?
That's what it says.
No, it's also ranked choice.
Okay.
Yeah, it says on the bottom, ranked choice.
Yeah, it's ranked choice.
Ranked choice vote.
Tell Teresa we don't like that, George.
I like it.
But right now you can vote the primary if you want as an independent. You just have to pick into.
You have to tell him. Okay,
but what he's saying here is if the top person wins, he might not win. Like, who the guy gets the most votes.
But we'll never know because well, that's what the computer said.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You don't have a slide rule. You're not going to figure it out.
That, George. All right. Okay. Anything that says make elections fair, you know right off the back.
It's the opposite.
They're trying to,
Okay, on we go. $20 fine to all criminal offenses. I'm not sure which prop this is. Fund a public life insurance fund for the first time. Police officers, correction workers who are killed by a criminal act. This would change the state law to create a public life insurance fund for first responders who are killed by a criminal act. The following professions would qualify.
Yeah. On the job, though, right?
Yeah.
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 It's $20 for the guy who gets chucked in jail. I probably don't have a problem with that.
I put a yes on that one, too.
Yeah.
I'm good with it.
Proposition 312, tax refund for property owners.
No.
Ooh. Now, see, that's a good heading. Tax refund for property owners.
I say no to this, too, because how do you monitor this? So what this is saying is that if you can't function with business because of illegal camping, people urinating or garbage or whatever, you can then go back and tell them you want your property taxes to get lowered.
Right.
So to me, it's very subjective.
Again, the lawyers put this one together so they can go in court and fight Tom constantly, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you didn't do a good job policing the sidewalk, so my
client doesn't
want
to somebody's out there camping out there urinating or defecating on the right by my door.
Granted,
ruins business.
I agree completely, and we need to hold the elected officials accountable to fix it, but not say, I'm just going to sue and get my property tax.
There's no suing here. You get your property tax.
Oh, yeah. It's automatic? Well, okay, but who's going to be the
determining,
arbiter?
Yeah. But not only that, but it's such a subjective thing that you're going to get people that abuse it.
Who's going to make that decision?
That you're going to make Teresa dress up as a homeless person and lay outside of our business every morning. Just so we can take, you know, we can utilize that for the, you know what I mean?
You're going to say you didn't have enough defecation on your sidewalk to consider it.
Yeah. Or you could have sprayed it off with your hose quicker.
Yeah, it's very subjective and it's gray. I'd say no to this.
Yeah, I see what you're saying now. All right. You swayed me. Finally, you swayed me. Mandatory life sentence for child sex trafficking. Mandatory life sentence for anyone convicted of a felony for sex trafficking, including the victims.
Mm. I read this thing, and believe it or not, I say no to this.
I said
no
also.
You know my thought process?
Because of the mandatory word.
Well, I like it. That's my point.
Look.
So they can throw the book at them if they want, but here's my thought. Let's just say, this went on in my brain, say someone's at a bar, you think you're single, you're out of town working a project, whatever. You think you're with a 19-year-old, and all of a sudden you're with the 15-year-old, but it looks like a 19-year-old, tells you a 19-year-old. So something...
Well, this is only for people that are convicted. It's not for people that are charged.
So they'd have to be pretty strict about it, I guess.
Well,
it would increase the penalty and give judges no room to issue a different sentence.
On a conviction. Not,
but they also said, too, that you know how if you get bullied into helping your pimp or whoever is doing the sex trafficking, then they also get full conviction.
Correct.
Yeah. It's a strong rule. I mean,
it's like saying I got bullied into murdering George. Well, so you still murdered him.
Yeah. Right, but the judge should know that.
Is a third degree
30
murder.
Years is enough. Not
30 years is enough? How do you know that?
Because I'm,
it says a minimum.
You trust what the judges do. Yeah. You know,
well, it's a strong rule. I don't know. I got to think about that. But
okay.
I'm neutral.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Point.
It's only 2 minutes till nine, Tom. Time was flying.
Keep going, man.
Oh, it's yeah. You only got none. No, you got no time. You
warrantless arrest over immigration suspension.
You ain't got time.
Suspicions.
You got to sign off now. Say goodbye.
Yeah, I know. Wow.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma,
LLC. Investment advisory services offer.